Today is April 1st. I'm Tyus France, and this is our debut episode of the Battleborn Libertarian Podcast. We're so glad that you joined us today, and I hope that you enjoy the show. This one's going to be all about getting to know us a little bit better.
You are listening to the Battleborn Libertarian Podcast, the official podcast of the Libertarian Party of Nevada. Here's your host, Tyus France.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the debut, the premiere, the pilot episode of the Battleborn Libertarian Podcast. I'm your host, Tyus France, and sitting across from me is my new good friend, I'm going to say. This is Alex. Alex, how do you say your last name?
My last name's Italian, and so often people do have a particularly difficult time pronouncing it, but it's very easy. It's just like it looks. It's Di Benedetto.
Di Benedetto.
Perfect.
Oh, I like it. So thank you for joining me for our debut episode of the show. We're going to be doing this podcast all about really just the LP Party, the Libertarian Party of Nevada. And you've had a lot of influence and sway within that party up until this point.
I'd like to think so, I guess.
I think so. I only recently got involved. And when I got involved, everyone's like, well, you should run that by Alex. So everything was run by Alex. So how did you get involved in it?
You know, that's a great question. I'd like to actually give the thanks for that to a guy named Brandon Ellison, who is the current chairman of an organization called Out for Liberty. And he's also been affiliated with the Libertarian Party of Nevada for quite a while. And what he does is he, at the time, was reaching out to new members and that sort of thing. And as it happens, because we're both members of the LGBTQ community, he was the one that ended up contacting me. And so kind of a close personal friendship developed there, getting to go to their events, like the AIDS Walk for AFAN, Pride, those kinds of things. So that's kind of what got me involved in the Libertarian Party of Nevada. And it was really through that vehicle of Out for Liberty that I became very interested.
Cool. Strangely enough, what got me involved was, do you know Pendulum from Penn & Teller?
Yeah.
So he's like big libertarian guy, right?
Absolutely.
The AIDS Walk thing is funny. So have you ever heard his story from the AIDS Walk?
No, I haven't.
All right, here we go. Story time. So they went down there. They support it in a big way every year. Right, the very first time they had to go down there and support it, they put him on the air, and he's kind of a bull in a china shop.
Sure.
So they put him on the air. He's reading this prompter, and the prompter says, "If you come down and donate blood, then you'll win a chance to get tickets to our show." And he's like, "Win a chance? That's crazy. Why would you only win a chance? If you come down here and give blood, I will guarantee you tickets to our show." Right. So then he gets off the air. And the coordinator of the event walks over and goes, "Do you know what you just did? We have to destroy all the blood that we get. Because in the state of Nevada, you can't exchange money or goods for a donation for blood, right? So the only option we have is to destroy it because we're giving somebody something of value." Anyways, long story short, he ends up having to go in front of a court of law arguing that his tickets have zero value. So that everybody gets blood. And they do that every year now. So everybody shows up. They won the case. But I just think it's hilarious, the idea of him standing up there being like, "No, my show's worthless."
That's incredible. I can't, you know, that just is so frustrating to, you know, reward people for doing something great. And then because of laws, once again, you know, something that would be very beneficial, like giving blood, is turned into, well, now we have to destroy it because the government says it's useless. If I give someone free show tickets or comped show tickets, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So, anyways, he's a big libertarian. He would always say, like, "Oh, I'm looking for, I always want to find the way of providing more freedom rather than less." And like, just those little hints were the things that kept pushing me farther and farther away. I was definitely on the very liberal side, and it was just where I was grown up and the influences I had. And how about you?
You know, as being the son of both pagan nudist parents and
really
conservative Christian parents, divorced, I actually had influences from both sides of the spectrum. So, yeah, you might say that I really don't have any exclusively conservative or liberal values. So I actually determined that I was a libertarian at age 16, because what else could I have been?
That's really, really early.
Yeah.
Wow. So, okay. pagan nudist parents.
Yes.
And get, okay, so go a little deeper on that, because that's super interesting and bizarre to me.
You know, my dad is a really great guy, very down to earth, and he's always believed in a spiritual universe and this sort of thing, but not particularly in any of the major sort of religions, if you will. And so he and my stepmom, that's what they've chosen as their theological and beliefs and that sort of thing. And they do believe in higher powers and all of this sort of thing. But they're more into worshiping and celebrating the earth and how beautiful it is and that sort of thing.
Huh.
So, and I'm sure we have a couple libertarians in the party that are also of more of a pagan persuasion. And so I'm sure they're going to correct me that I probably said something wrong and didn't distinguish the appropriate subculture. So I apologize, but you know,
you can't win them all.
Correct. And so it's been very interesting to me to come from backgrounds of multiple different religious beliefs. And
where do you find yourself?
You know, I actually find myself as what I'd like to call a Christ follower. So I'm not really into the whole religion thing. I think that it's in some ways a huge scam. In a lot of ways, it gets away from the teachings of Christ, and I'm particularly talking about Christians here, but I think you'll find most religions that are organized, they kind of get into their own little bubble of what they're doing, and they forget like the overall mission and that sort of thing. And so, again, as a Christ follower, I believe in the teachings and the story of Christ, and I do believe that he died for our sins and all of that sort of thing. But I don't believe that if you mess up once or you're gay or you're any of those sorts of things, you're just automatically going to go to hell. Yeah. I think that you have to believe in a forgiving God, or else why even believe in one? It seems sort of nihilist to believe in a God that's going to automatically punish you.
Sure, sure. So, I mean, I fall heavily on the atheist side, but what I love about, one, I love having diversity on our show, which I think is absolutely great that we don't follow along the same lines, because what is more beautiful than the fact that there's differences that all come together around similar philosophies?
Absolutely. Right?
That's gorgeous. And I think when it comes to politics, and I guess we're going to be talking a lot about politics on this show, I don't think there's probably a more accepting situation within politics than the Libertarian Party currently, philosophically.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. I had a... just more stories.
Of course.
I had a housekeeper come over, and she was cleaning up everything for me and didn't speak a word of English. And I have all these magic posters, so I come from doing magic. That's my background. And she would see all these posters, and they'd have like little devils and demons on them. And I'd have to keep explaining, like, mago de magia. And like, I'd have to explain what she was looking at. And then she'd, you know, find a straitjacket because magic. And be like, and
absolutely.
She never came back. She was done.
You know, if you're still looking for one, I can always recommend a really good one.
A good straitjacket?
Oh, no. No.
Good housekeeper.
Yes, a good housekeeper, and people are always looking for one. The only thing people are trying to find in Las Vegas more than good housekeeping is a good plumber and a good person to clean the pool.
Oh, yeah. The pool thing is impossible.
It is. I think they're all scam artists. I mean, they're...
Pool thing's impossible.
Yeah, they'll come over and be like, oh, you need to replace this with a $3,000 system, and then, no, it just needs to be backwashed. It's like, okay.
So I come from magic, and my current job is like an entertainment manager. I manage other performers. What do you do?
I'm a software engineer, and so I write a variety of applications in mainly WPF, Windows Presentation Foundation, for Windows Desktop, but also occasionally for web using ASPI.NET.
Cool, cool. So on this show, what we're going to be talking a lot about is obviously politics. We're going to talk a lot about politics, and we're going to be talking about the Libertarian Party, which is the Big L Libertarian. Have you ever hear people talk about, I'm a Big L Libertarian, they're talking about the Libertarian Party. If you hear them talking about the little L, they're talking about the Libertarian philosophy, which is also kind of a unique factor that Libertarians have, is that the political view is based around a philosophical view. And for me, that's a big deal. I've always wanted to have something that lines up. My politics should align with my philosophy within life, and my ethics should be around that too. When everything lines up, there is less contradiction, right?
Absolutely.
So we're going to be talking about that kind of thing. One thing that is very intentional is, even though I do other podcasts, most of my podcasts are very clean, intentionally, right? And I made a very conscious decision that we're going to leave this podcast to be as explicit as we want it to be, because one of the core values of being libertarian is that freedom of speech.
Fuck yeah.
Yes! So whatever wants to be said can absolutely be said on the show. And we'll put the little explicit logo on there, because that's just really embracing the freedom that we get to experience within this philosophy and this political view. And really, it embraces the Constitution, which is cool, too.
Yeah, who decides which words are bad anyway? I mean, you go to a different country, and it's a whole different set.
Yeah, right? We're going to be talking about national news. We're going to be talking about local news. But, of course, we're specifically going to be talking a lot about the Libertarian Party of Nevada. So I wanted to, on this episode, really get to know you better and give you an opportunity to get to know me better. And in the process of doing that, hopefully our listeners will get an opportunity to understand us. The truth is, this being the first episode, people are probably not even going to hear this episode unless they intentionally go back to track it down, right? Every time you hear a podcast, you're usually checking it out on episode 50 or 60 or something like that.
Absolutely.
So if you've come all this way back to listen to our archived episodes to hear our beautiful voices, we appreciate you coming back and checking us out. Let's take a little bit of time to talk about how we got to the philosophy that we ended up at. You said you got there at like 15?
16, and I have to actually thank the election of Barack Obama for discovering libertarianism.
So how did that happen?
So, of course, in 2008, everyone was all about Barack Obama and how he was going to change things. And he was going to shut down Guantanamo Bay, and he was going to teach those big banks a lesson they'll never forget, and he's going to pull the no more boots on the ground, pull people out of the wars. Those were all things I really, really admired about Barack Obama's platform in 2008. But what I didn't agree with was raising taxes, increasing government spending. I was also in an economics class at the time, so we were getting to experience sort of the different macroeconomic theories there were. And I realized, you know, I don't agree with that at all. And unfortunately, as much as I wanted to find that in the Republican Party, there wasn't even at that time any fiscal conservatism, because they embraced the bailout of the banks just as vehemently as the incoming president, later that year. So I had to do research, right? I had to find out what am I, right? It's sort of that central question in life, because I'm definitely, you know, I agree with the Democrats on social issues, but I don't really agree with anybody on fiscal issues. I would like to see people keep their hard-earned money and only have to contribute what little is really necessary for things like fire, police, schools, that sort of thing. And so, you know, Wikipedia, right? Always the source of wisdom and knowledge. I was stumbling through there, looking at different political philosophies, and I found libertarianism, small l, and I found a lot of videos by people like Ron Paul and by various members of the Libertarian Party, which I didn't know existed at the time. And one thing led to another on the course of tracking this down on the internet, and I found the Libertarian Party, Big L, and I fell in love with their platform. I read through their platform, and I was like, that's what I think. That's what I think. Oh my goodness, like, this is exactly how I mean, on almost every issue, I'd say 98% or greater, they've captured exactly the way I feel about issues. Even on issues like abortion, gender, they haven't taken a firm stance one way or the other, resolving to leave that sort of issue to individuals themselves. I think that's exactly the right attitude in government, that if you don't know which way to go on an issue, you resolve to allow individuals to decide for themselves which way they fall on a particular issue.
So how much of the economics class had an effect on your views? Because for me, So I started getting into it, and then I would go, I don't know the answer to this question. And for some reason, it always was an economist that ended up having the right answer. And I never, honestly, I thought economics was the most boring topic you could possibly get. I was like, oh, great, numbers. That sounds really fun. But it turns out it's really, I got turned on to Rothbard and Mises and all of these economists that really knew what they were talking about and had great examples of why you should think this way. So how much did that economics class influence your way of thinking?
Actually, quite a bit. And the reason partially is because, again, I was the only person. First of all, there were no Republicans in my grade level that year. Zero. I mean that in every possible way. And so there was basically 99 Democrats, it felt like, and one outlier, which was myself. And so even in economics class, we would do things like, who thinks, you know, he would, Mr. Guy, our teacher, who was absolutely incredible, by the way, managing to be sort of the devil's advocate for everybody. But I sort of fell into that role as well, because I was the one person standing in one corner while everyone else stood in the others on issues like, do we increase taxes, lower taxes? Do we increase spending on this? Do we decrease spending on this? And, so that really had a profound influence on me. One of the presentations we ended up doing was on, like, how would you solve the national debt problem, right? An economics problem. Yeah, where would you, basically, the idea was, would you raise taxes? Would you lower government spending? And how, and on which areas would you lower government spending? And pretty much everybody said, raise taxes and cut defense spending. But I said, lower taxes and cut across the board. And major cuts to defense, major cuts to the military. And what's interesting, of course, being from a military family, is most of them know just how bloated it is. So you talk to people from the military, they're often going to tell you, we see the millions of dollars of waste on a regular basis. So they're not exactly thinking that their job is first on the line. There's a lot of graft and there's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of waste going on there already. So you could almost cut all that out and still make almost, you know, $200 billion cuts to the Defense Department, which, by the way, really encompasses two different ideas, something Ron Paul always liked to mention, which is foreign spending, like bases in other countries, which mainly ends up employing locals. So not even American citizens. So it's not even like a good jobs program because it's employing other people's citizens. We could almost shut most of the, we could shut all the non-strategic ones down overseas and make huge cuts. So these were the sort of things that I brought to that economics class as an idea and had to defend, of course, in front of Mr. Guy. And that did have that solidified my views on fiscal liberalism, I'd like to say. And not liberal in the sense of spend, but liberal in the sense of let people spend their money on what they want to spend it on. And I know a lot of people will give to private charity, and every dollar you get taken away by the government, they're spending half of it on building a bomb to go blow up someone you don't even know. So every dollar we give someone back in taxes, in my mind, is a much better chance of that going to actually help people through organizations like Aid for AIDS Nevada, and bigger, you know, Big Brothers Big Sisters. I mean, that's really where I, you know, find that cutting taxes is compassionate, right? We're taking money out of the war machine, out of the military industrial complex, and we're giving it to people who, some of which at least, are going to spend that money entirely on charity.
Yeah. How did your presentation within your class go? Did you convince the teacher or any of the students? Or,
well, the teacher was good at playing pretty neutral. I mean, he had, and of course, was again playing devil's advocate for everyone's presentation. But I had a lot of, like, quote unquote, I had a lot of people trying to ask those stumper questions. And it's like, oh, well, you know, why would you cut this or that? And what it really came down to is, well, I trust that people, consumer spending, which is part of GDP. And then that's what they were going after me on, right? It was, you know, well, if you cut government spending and taxes, then the idea is, and this is kind of absurd, right? You cut government spending, there's a 100% decrease for every dollar on GDP, because 100% of government spending is included in GDP. But with consumer spending, it depends upon how much they save and how much they spend. Mm-hmm. And I forget now which ones it is, but it's like the marginal savings percentage or something like that. And so, especially in 2008, nobody was spending. Even if you gave an extra dollar in taxes, that was going to go pay some debt. You were foreclosing on a house. I mean, this was not a time when people are going to go out and spend crazy like the 2001 Bush tax cuts. I mean, my mom and stepdad went out and bought a mattress. So, I mean, in that time, the tax cuts were very beneficial to the economy. A lot of that money went right out and helped stimulate us and bring us out of that little recession then. But in 2008, that wasn't going to work. So, there was a lot of people trying to stump me on that kind of things. But I still said, you know what? Better to have the people get out of debt and the people not lose their homes than for the banks to be bailed out with billions of dollars, and then people still lost their homes and still didn't have the money. So why is it that the big banks got all the money and the American people didn't? I mean, I would have even supported a lottery system of people who, you know, got houses paid off just randomly to help, you know, get rid of those quote-unquote toxic assets.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, they look at it and they go, well, this is the government's money, and they don't realize that it's not. It's their money across the board. They just go, well, the government paid off the banks, or the government paid off my mortgage. And it's like, well, actually, this is... The government is the group that is you. You are paying that off. So it's funny, the idea of like, oh, a bank is FDIC insured. That means you're insuring the bank. You realize that, right? Like that means the government, you are the one that is insuring the bank in case the bank fails.
And this is why I wasn't concerned about banks failing, because it wasn't going to affect people. The money would have been insured by the FDIC to go to them and their accounts up to a certain amount. But I believe it's $100,000 per account.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. I mean, if you were over that and you were going to lose money,
if you're over that, you're probably okay.
Yeah, you were probably in gold by then anyway. So yeah. So yeah, you were going to be fine. But yeah, I mean, government bailouts, they always end up helping these crony capitalism and big business like Chase and Bank of America. They never end up helping. I mean, and you see it. There's no non-incentives now. They have every incentive to go out and do exactly what they did in 2007 and 8 to precipitate that crisis. Because what they believe now is, I can be as wild and crazy with investor money as I want, because if it all crashes, the government will bail us out.
Yep.
So why would Goldman Sachs ever care about being within safe margins ever again?
So when you were looking into becoming a libertarian, was it the fiscal issues or was it the social issues that initially got you hooked the most?
As a man who was just embracing the fact that he was homosexual, I'd have to say social issues.
Just at the time?
I was struggling with that both theologically, because I grew up with, again, conservative Christian parents, and so I was struggling with, of course, the debate in myself between my theology and what I believed and what I was coming to realize about myself at the time. So I would say I was looking for a political philosophy that helped solve some of that inner crisis. And Libertarian Party was the only party that had a platform of pro-gay marriage since 1972. I didn't really particularly feel fond of the Democrats because at that time, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in the primaries, none of them were supporting gay marriage then. And everyone forgets this. I mean, people have such short memories. I
don't. Don't ask, don't tell, like all that good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I thank Mr. Obama, or I guess President Obama, for what he did for the LGBT community, supporting the Supreme Court's decision on overturning DOMA, getting rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell as a military standard, which is one of the reasons I didn't go in the military, by the way. Probably a big one, because I didn't want to go back in the closet. So, I mean, I don't know if they lost out or not, but I mean, I would have definitely wanted to join the military and follow in literally everyone else in my family's footsteps. But I didn't, because I wasn't going to go back in the closet for anybody, least of which the military. So again, I would say social issues really is what drove me to libertarianism.
It's weird because you look at the social stuff and most people just associate that to being like a very liberal thing. It's very just democratic, right? Mm-hmm. The Democrats are the ones that really defend that. But the Libertarian Party is actually the one that has pushed the farthest with that.
Oh, yeah.
And even in the areas that people might be uncomfortable with, right? So it's one thing to say, well, I want anybody to be able to marry anybody they want. And then you can take that down further realms and go, well, if I'm saying people should have the freedom to do what they want, that also includes like they should be able to own a gun if they want to own a gun. Like it has to, you exactly. have to cover all your bases. You have to be consistent or you're just being a hypocrite about your own beliefs. You know, what do you think this, you might've already answered this, but it was on my list, on my outline. What do you think is one of the biggest wins for the Libertarian Party over the last couple of years?
I mean, certainly the Supreme Court decision on gay marriage was a huge one, and another reason why I even contacted the Libertarian Party of Nevada and Out for Liberty at the time. They put press releases very much praising the court for taking action that the executive and legislative branches were unable to do, even though the majority of Americans did want, you know, anybody to be able to marry anybody at that time. So, I mean, again, I would say that's probably one of the biggest wins, but there's been quite a few, most recent of which would probably have to be the decision that the Supreme Court made on, gosh, I just forgot the case, but essentially it is the, oh, that's what it was. It was the about the Federal Elections Commission, and it was about keeping the two parties the only people allowed to be in the national debates. So that decision came out in January.
I don't even know about this.
Oh, you didn't hear about this? Incredible
news.
Bring it on.
Bring it on.
Absolutely. And I have to thank Gary Johnson, Jill Stein, and of course, Nick Sarwark and the entire Libertarian Party for really pushing for this. But essentially what they did is they sued the federal government saying that the Federal Elections Commission was allowing, and the IRS, right, they were allowing this nonpartisan group to put on the Commission for Presidential Debates to put on a presidential debate, but not include the other parties like Libertarian Party or Green Party, which were on the ballot in enough states to theoretically win. So their argument was, this isn't nonpartisan, this is bipartisan. And so the argument was, bipartisanship is not nonpartisanship. You have to allow us into the debates. If we're on enough ballots in enough states to theoretically win, what you're telling the American people is, no, you don't, you're not allowed. And so we'll see what happens. But on April 8th, the Federal Elections Commission has been ordered by the judge to issue new rules on what it means to be nonpartisan and to allow to collect donor money for the CPD to put on these debates. What does it mean? What do they have to do to either, you know, keep us out, or in other words, the CPD is going to have to issue new rules of some sort. So that's a huge win, because that's something that's been a long time coming. I think a lot of Americans, most Americans in many polls, have said that they would rather have more voices from different parties on stage. Now, they don't want a circus. They don't want 100 people up there, of course. But if you're on enough ballots in enough states, and ballot access is difficult and tricky. It is not an easy process. It's something that the Libertarian Party has to spend millions of dollars on every year, and state affiliates have to work tirelessly, particularly places like Ohio, where the Governor John Kasich was extremely, extremely bad on ballot access for third parties. They have to go out and collect something like 75,000 signatures, which means, because they have to be all perfect, and they throw away an entire page, by the way, of 20 signatures if even one of them is bad.
Wow.
So you have to get like 120,000 to 130,000 signatures to have enough. So again, people like that are out there tirelessly working. There's enough of a movement to get that many people motivated to be on the ballot. And like we were in 2016, in all 50 states plus DC, we were on the ballot. And the fact is that the CPD and the polling companies, which were completely wrong and predicted a Hillary Clinton crushing, which she lost pretty decidedly in the Electoral College. National vote notwithstanding. And they were the ones that helped produce the CPD, keeping us out of the debates, because they were picking five of those and using them to decide, five of the polls, of course, to decide whether or not Gary Johnson could be in the debates. And I believe that if they had allowed him into the debates, that we would have seen a very different result in 2016. Because people are looking for that third option. They're looking for that alternative to the fail. They know that the two parties are just terrible. People weren't happy with Obamacare. They weren't happy with the repealing of Obamacare and replacement by the Republican Party. People are not. They know that the two dinosaurs of older parties, they're done. They are fundamentally unable to move forward for America, and the Libertarian Party is.
Which is great. I'm looking at the prohibition falling apart around marijuana.
And oh, yeah.
Like, that's another huge win. And we're seeing that here in Vegas and in several other states. But like, it's just rolling along. And I love watching, essentially, people's freedom being returned to them, which is wonderful and rare.
And we'd have to give a shout out to State Senator Tick Sigerbloom, who has put forward an omnibus bill that will get marijuana in the hands of sellers and distributors sooner. Because right now, even though it's legal to buy and to possess marijuana, it's not legal to sell it yet because they're still coming out with the rules. So we have to thank him for being bold and for taking what the Nevada voters clearly wanted in 2016 on the question, and is pushing forward to help get marijuana distributors the license they need so they can begin selling.
Wonderful. So we're going to have a lot of information like this as we go on with this podcast. We're going to start getting to the point of wrapping this up. But before we do, I want to throw out a couple of events that are coming up in case you happen to be listening to this right off the bat. Good for you. Thank you for being such a I'm going to just call you the earliest of early adopters for our podcast. So this evening, there's a space in town called The Space. And they're doing a show called The Nigerian Spam Scam Scam, and I have heard from many sources that this show is incredible, laugh out loud funny, it's brilliant. It's about the whole Nigerian prince scam, and apparently a guy like strung this scam artist along for almost a year, making him jump through hoops. Apparently it's brilliant. We have a huge amount of, I wouldn't say huge, but we have an amount of Libertarian party members heading out there this evening at 7 o'clock. So if you haven't seen the show, you want to see the show, head down to 3460 Cavaretta Court, I guess. That's in Las Vegas. So if you are in the area listening to this early on, check out the Nigerian Scam Spam Scam Scam. Also, coming up very, very soon, April 4th, we're going to be having our first Tuesday month meeting, first Tuesday of the month meeting. We have that every first Tuesday of the month. That's going to be at Jalisco's Cantina. It's at 6 o'clock. So that's at 3460 East Sunset Road. Ooh, having a hard time talking. That's a bad thing to have a problem with on a podcast. If our listeners want to track you down, you want to give up Twitter or anything like that to have people follow you?
Absolutely. Our Twitter and our Facebook and pretty much all of our resources are at LP Nevada. That's L as in Lima, P as in Peru, Nevada, all one word. And you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and many other social media sites that are popularly used.
I mean, what if they want to find you?
Oh, if they want to find me, you can go to /alexmd.liberty, and that is my professional page. You can also find me at Twitter at SWF8N. So, again, that's SWF8N.
Wonderful. Thank you. If you want to track me down, I guess my website's TyusFrance.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, it's at TyusFrance. And again, I really want to thank you for tuning in and being one of those early listeners. You can track down everything from the Libertarian Party at lpnevada.org, and we would love to have you there. If you are, well, everyone's new to this podcast, so please share it with friends. Please go to Facebook, or go to your aggregator of choice, iTunes, leave a positive review. That's going to help us out in a big, big way. We would love this to be a pyramid scheme where you just send this out to all your friends and say, hey, get involved. But if you really want to get involved, go to lpnevada.org. And help us out by joining the party.
This show is brought to you by the Libertarian Party of Nevada. Music is provided by T. Sims. Please support the show by subscribing, sharing it with friends, and leaving a positive review on iTunes. For more information or to learn how to get involved, visit lpnevada.org. Thank you for listening.